We bless you, Lord, for your written word. And we pray, Lord, that Holy Spirit, you would help us to encounter Jesus, the living word, today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The church that I was rector of for 38 years was an inner city church. And my recollections of that often were that the unexpected would always happen. Preaching one Sunday, a cat walked in the back door and behind me, and we had an acolyte chasing a cat around the church. Another time we were having a worship service we would have before our food and clothing ministry, and around 100 people would be there on a Thursday night. And I remember one of the first times I said to the congregation, "Does anyone have a testimony?" And a lady said, "Raised her hand," and I said, "Go ahead." And she stood up and she said, "Someone threw a brick through my window." And then she sat down. And I said, "Was anyone hurt?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Let's praise God." So there's always something a little bit different happening. There was this one Sunday that it just seemed like the Lord was moving in special ways. The worship was good. The presence of the Lord was there. There were gifts of the Spirit being manifested, and some prophetic gifts, things were happening. And we had the reading of Scripture, and there was just a sense I had of the Lord's presence there that Sunday. And so I was in the middle of preaching, and a person, I believe he's in the front row, he was part of our congregation, had been for some time at that point, and he kept raising his hand, and I kept doing what preachers do. They try to ignore it, like it's going to go away. And he kept raising his hand, and I finally stopped, and I said something about what's on your heart or mind. And he said, "When am I going to get food? When am I going to get groceries?" Now, this is a person that we'd helped out a lot with groceries and in a lot of different ways, loving on this guy. And I said, "Later." And so he sat down, and a few minutes later, he kept waving his hand, and I said, "What?" And he said, "When am I going to get groceries?" And I said, "Well, I told you, after the service." And he said, "Talk is cheap." And I kind of just went, "Oh, what are we going to do here? What are we going to do?" But there's a thing that struck me about what happened that Sunday. One was the Lord humbling me. He did that a lot. It still does, by the way. And he likes to keep people in humility. But there's another thing that really struck me about that Sunday. And it was the fact that the Lord was present. He was speaking. He was doing wonderful things in the congregation, as far as I could tell. Their testimonies, it was good. But for this one person, he missed it all. He was missing it all. There had been a thing on his mind from the moment he came to church. And again, this is the person we helped all the time. We helped hundreds of people with food all the time. And yet, for him, all he could see was something that he wanted for himself. That's all he saw. Yeah. And so in the midst of the Lord doing stuff, he was missing out. He was missing out because his attention was not towards the Lord. It was towards himself. Now, this story came to mind as I was reading the gospel the past week. And it's really interesting, the encounter Jesus has with an individual. before this encounter, Jesus is preaching, he's teaching thousands. And he's talking about things of the kingdom. He's talking about persecution. He's talking about remaining faithful in the way of persecution when it happens. He's talking about the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak when you're put on trial. And he's talking about blaspheme against the Holy Spirit as being unforgivable sin. He's sharing all of these things. This isn't Scott the preacher or Dan the preacher. This is the Son of God. This is Emmanuel. This is the one who created all that there is. This is Jesus. And he's here relating all these wonderful things. And all of a sudden, in the middle of it, there's a guy who says, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. What? And it's like this fellow this one time at Holy Spirit. There's things of God going on, but for this individual, his mind was totally absorbed with himself. And it wasn't a non-religious question, because in the Old Testament, it talks about the inheritance of the father, how it's divided between the first oldest son and the next, and so on. So what he was asking about was kind of a religious question, but the real issue was his heart was absorbed in himself and what he wanted Jesus to do to give him what he wanted. So Jesus gives the parable. Jesus replied, "Man who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you," then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store up a surplus of grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with everyone who stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God." In this scripture, one person I was reading said, this guy was about the Trinity, me, myself, and I. There's a thing about this guy in the parable that every pronoun he's using is talking about what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barn, build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take it easy, life, eat, drink, and be merry. The thing you constantly find with this spirit of greed is you become very, very self-focused. Very focused on me, myself, and I. You become very focused, and as you do, your heart starts to become hardened to the things of the Lord. A person that is looking for things to bring pleasure into their life, when the spirit of greed hits, they never have enough. It's okay. God provides finances. Finances are not unspiritual. TV is not in itself unspiritual. ESPN definitely is not in itself unspiritual. But the thing happens that when things of the world start to grab your heart in a way that you start seeking it wholeheartedly, all of a sudden that thing you're seeking begins to take control of your life. When it takes control of your life, then you find that your relationship with the Lord begins to ebb. Sometimes people will say, I can't hear the Lord's voice. There's a lot of reasons, but one reason can be that when there's a spirit of greed that is very focused on self and getting what self wants, thinking that will bring pleasure, you find that even when those things happen, you're still empty. You're like a black hole. And so your relationship with the Lord begins to fall apart, but also your eyes do not see people in need around you. The heart becomes hardened. Now, it's not only money or possessions that can come into play, but there are many things. Sometimes there's a hunger in a person's life for approval. There might be a lot of reasons why. But one of the things happens is that they receive approval, but they're satisfied for a minute, but when the spirit of greed is there, they need to get more approval. They need to get more approval from more people. Sometimes we all need friends, and the Lord calls us into relationship friendships. But sometimes with friends, someone has friends, and if you have three good friends, you're doing well, by the way. But what happens is that friendship isn't enough. I need more friends. I need more approval. I need more friends. I have a need to be in control. And so I start striving to take control of everything from my life to the church to the world, and it's never enough. There's this insatiable desire to get more and more control. It's a slippery thing. I think that's why Jesus, of course, not think, but Jesus said, be aware. Be aware of greed, because it can take hold of anyone's life. I'll make a confession. I have a problem with greed from time to time. And I have a problem because I like to see what's going on in the news. And so my dear wife, Claudia, put this app on my cell phone that tells me how many minutes a day I'm on social media. And she has access to it. I worry about that, but God has total access to it, you know? Sometimes the Holy Spirit's voice and Claudia's voice are very similar. But I got on this thing called TikTok. It seemed really innocent because I like to look at the things about animals and wildlife, and I'd learn a lot about how to take care of my lawn and so on and so on. And so then I would say to myself, I'm spending too much time on this. I delete it. And so I would delete it for a few days, and I'll think, well, I'll just take a glance. Now I'm back on TikTok. So it took my daughter, this time speaking truth to me while on vacation recently, and so I'm permanently off it. But what I found about little things, and there are wonderful religious things you can find on there, but it started to take control of my life and my relationship with the Lord. I could tell wasn't doing as dry. And my heart wasn't bent towards others. It was really bent towards my pleasure and getting what I was longing for. But the spirit of greed, it's never enough. I'm going to read a response to the spirit of greed. And it comes this morning from Isaiah 58. And so, Lord, help us just to hear how you would speak to our hearts through this passage. Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and yet you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Okay, there's something wrong in the relationship. They're doing religious stuff. They're doing the good stuff, but they're saying, Lord, we're separated from you. We feel apart from you. We do religious things on religious holidays. And so the Lord says, yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please, and you exploit all your workers. Okay, right away, here it comes. The spirit of greed. You exploit your workers. You're not looking about other people. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists, division. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen, only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, and break every yoke. You see, the eyes are now being directed away from self, and now it's beginning to think about other people. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. There's a change here. Israel is consumed with themselves, a spirit of greed. And they start to realize that because of that spirit of greed, they feel very distant from the Lord. And so the Lord says the way to break that spirit, to move in the opposite spirit, is that your heart begins to go out to people in need. Your heart starts to be bent toward the lonely, to the oppressed, to those in prison, to those who are hungry, to those who are naked. Your heart begins to move this way, and you're moving out of the spirit of greed. You're now moving into the spirit of the Lord, whose heart is always for the widow and the poor and the needy. And then God has a promise. He says, if you do away with a yoke of oppression, pointing finger and malicious talk, and you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame, and you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. The result of moving out of the spirit of greed and self-focus and moving to look at the Lord and other people, your light breaks forth like the dawn, your healing quickly appears. Wow. Your healing quickly appears. Maybe a church that would have a healing ministry needs to have a food ministry, a clothing ministry, or whatever, where people that are in need of healing have a place to focus on others and what God's wanting to do in their lives. And then the Lord says, now you're moving into my place of blessing, place of provision. See, in the world, we think we want to grab hold of things and hold it to ourselves. And the Lord keeps saying, if you give it away, if you're willing to give it away, then I'm going to meet needs in your life like you've never known before. At Holy Spirit, and please don't apply this to St. Luke's, because this is just a Church of the Holy Spirit thing, but we lived in poverty from week to week, usually. Then someone would give a gift, and it's great, and we'd celebrate, but the Lord wouldn't let us enjoy it too long, because we'd start depending on ourselves. And so this one vestry meeting, the treasurer's report was that we had $1.61 left in the bank account. $1.61. And I didn't have much tact at the moment, so I said, well, we did something wrong. And he looked at me like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, God gave it for us to spend it. We should have zero. Well, don't apply that to this church or any other church. This is just a Holy Spirit moment. But sure enough, the Lord provided. He always did. He always did. But it's always like St. Luke's. Our eyes move away from greed and holding to ourselves, money, whatever, and we say, Lord, you give us what things to give away. And as we give it away, our healing quickly appears. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your heart of love and compassion. Your heart for people in need. Sometimes they're right here in our congregation, and other times they're in the community of Copley or wherever you call us to be. And Lord, we thank you that even though we don't see a spirit of greed in this place, or if we do, it must be hidden, because this is such a giving congregation. You've placed so much love in our hearts for other people and for the world. But Lord, still you say, be careful, because the spirit of greed, of focusing on self, can creep in. And Lord, we thank you that you want to protect us from that, and that you give us a way to be protected as we fix our eyes on you and those in need. Lord, I pray that you would increase resources here, not for ourselves, but so we would have more resources from you to give away, that there would be a baptism of gifts of the Spirit in this place more and more, not for ourselves, but so that we might minister with your gifts and the power of the Spirit for those in need. Thank you, Lord, for how you take care of us, how you're loving us today. We pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.